Here's the only trampoline joke that I know. What's the difference between a lawyer and a trampoline? You take your shoes off to jump on the trampoline. But even if you're not a lawyer, and apologies to any lawyers here today, at work can often feel, can't it, like being on a trampoline. So many ups and downs, so many high points and low points, so much to do, so much to think about, so difficult to feel any sense of balance or control. So fearful of flying off in completely the wrong direction at any moment. That's work as a trampoline. Maybe this morning felt like that for you. And into that context, I want us this lunchtime to look at one of the most well-known verses and promises in the Bible. It's Romans 8, chapter 28. They're up on the screen. It says this. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." It's a promise that is a huge comfort to many. The Christian, in other words, the person who loves God, the Christian can legitimately read from that verse that God works for my good. In all things, God works for my good. It's an amazing promise. It's a promise I'd love all the teenagers in Bridge End to hear, where all the suicides have been happening. But it's a promise too that we need to hear. It's what we need to hear even as we think about our work. Because this lunchtime, we're going to look at three ways that the trampoline of work can cause us to alter our belief in this promise. The first way is through imbalance. A couple of years ago, I asked a group of about 50 Christians in the workplace whether they thought that they worked too few hours, about the right amount of hours, or too many hours. No one said they worked too few hours. 40% thought that they worked about the right number of hours, and 60% considered that they worked too many hours. So 60% felt that there was an imbalance on the work trampoline, that they spent too much time at work. And certainly we all, don't we? We all feel like a juggler, juggling a number of balls in our lives, work, family, church, friends, hobbies, sport, trying to keep all the balls up without dropping them or causing serious damage to ourselves. But for many of us, the problem comes that work can become too big a ball to be able to keep it and everything else up in the air. Work starts to dominate everything else. There's an imbalance, and we find ourselves working too many hours. And this alters our view on Romans 8, 28. Instead of saying, God works for my good, we find ourselves saying, I work for my work's good. Work becomes the central focus in our lives. We start putting our work above God. Work gets promoted and God gets demoted. Well, how do we deal with this problem of imbalance? This problem, if my survey is anything to go by, that 60% of us here will be suffering from. The solution is to get a correct view of our work, a correct view of our work. Firstly, in terms of where we serve Jesus. So someone prayed for me when I started working in a church 5 years ago from being a management consultant. Someone prayed this for me. They said, thank you, Lord, for Jago, that he was a management consultant, but now he's serving you. Now, do you see what a disastrous prayer that is? Thank you, Lord, for Jago, that he was a management consultant, but now he's serving you. Implication, you cannot possibly serve God as a management consultant. Now, that is rubbish. Me as a management consultant, each of you, in wherever your workplace is, wherever that is, you as a Christian, in your workplace, you are serving Jesus there. We can serve God anywhere. We can serve him in our jobs. Secondly, we need a correct view of work in terms of how we serve Jesus. For some people, that they work too long hours. And they excuse their long hours at work by saying they're serving Jesus by doing a good job. Now that's a half truth. To be serving Jesus well in our workplaces where we've just come from, we do need to be doing a good job. We need to be working well for our boss, just like we saw with Daniel last week. But that is not the sum total of how we serve Jesus at work. If people don't know that we're a Christian, if we're not speaking of Jesus with our work colleagues, then we're not pointing anybody to Jesus at all. If our mentality is that the only way we serve Jesus at work is by doing a good job, by doing well, by getting promoted fast, by being known to be the best at what we do, if that is all we think serving Jesus is about, if that's all we think it's about, then we will become imbalanced. Because we'll just be spending far too long in our workplaces just striving to be the best. So we thought, where, how, and then third, we need a correct view of work in terms of when we serve Jesus. You see, I've come across people with the mentality of, well, I'll work flat out now, and then in a few years, what I'll do is I'll pull back, and then I'll have more time for serving Jesus. Or people say this, they say, I'll work flat out now and not be too focused on serving Jesus in my job, but then in a few years' time, then I'll be in a position of real influence, and then I can make a difference for Jesus. Now that is wrong thinking. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So for each one of us who are Christians here, each and every day, we need to be looking to be full-on, wholehearted followers of Jesus. And when do we serve Jesus at work? We serve him at work today. We serve him at work every day. There's no time out from being someone who serves Jesus. So getting a correct view of our work, that is the key thing to help us stay balanced on the work trampoline. The second way that the trampoline of work can alter our view on Romans 8:28 is when we're on the up, when we are successful, and many of you here are highly successful, I know, in your jobs, when we're getting well paid, that is when we're on the up. And what happens then? Well, the danger is not so much then that work is all consuming in our key focus. The danger then is because of our success, we become our own key focus. So we start believing not God works for my good, as Romans 8:28 says, but instead what we start believing is this. We believe I work for my good, and I'm pretty good at it. I work for my good, and I do a great job at working for my good. I'm successful. And so God doesn't just get demoted. No, God gets deleted altogether. And we forget about God in the success. I wonder, has that ever been you? Has that ever been you? Just forgetting about God as you become successful. As all is rosy at work. Things are going great at work. But actually you've forgotten about God. God's just flown out the window. Has that ever been you? What's the solution? The solution is we need to get a correct view of ourselves. Mark just read for us. He read a bit in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. I wonder if you're not there already, if you might just turn there again, just to page 46. And this passage, as you probably know, Joseph, his career was very much a technicolor career. It had its ups and its downs. But at this passage in chapter 41, Joseph's career, it's very much on the up. So if you look at chapter 41, verse 41, right at the top there, we see there that Joseph, he has the power of Pharaoh. If you look at the next verse, verse 42, we see that Joseph, he's got the royal credit card, he's got Pharaoh's signet ring, he's got the designer clothes too. Look at verse 45, we see Joseph, he's even managed to sort of bag himself an A-list celebrity wife, the daughter of the most powerful priest in the land. You see, Joseph here, he is very much on the up. And soon what happens is Joseph and his celebrity wife, Asenath, they start their family. Now, children these days get named all sorts of things, don't they? And we've called our son Boaz after Ruth's husband in the Old Testament. I've got to say that our name selection for our son has had it's had quite a few comments from people, a fair share of comments from people. So one person, we said to them, actually, we've called our son Boaz, and they just looked at us and said, you're joking, aren't you? I was like, no, it's serious, totally serious. Another person said Boaz, it was the hairdresser, actually, but they said, Boaz, isn't that the name of someone in Hollywood? So there are all sorts of comments. But actually, us calling our son Boaz, there is nothing on the creativity that Joseph and Asenath show. Just look at verse 51, there towards the bottom. Verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And putting creativity to one side, the common thread, I don't know if you spotted just there, is that the four-word phrase that's for both of those two children. Both of those two children is that four-word phrase, God has made me. God has made me forget all my troubles. God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering, says Joseph. You see, in both the ups and the downs, Joseph acknowledges that it is God who has made him. That means he's not puffed up too much by success, nor is he pulled down too far in the negative times. He has a correct view on himself. He knows it is not him who is the cause of his success, but God. My wife, Susanna, she actually went to see Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat just last week in the Adelphi Theatre, and she said, if she was honest, she didn't really enjoy the production. Because actually, the dominant theme of this show is that Joseph's success, that it comes about just because Joseph gets a few lucky breaks. So one of the choruses in the musical says, we all dream a lot. Some are lucky, some are not. But that is so far from what is recorded in Genesis. Again and again, when Joseph is successful, when he's on the up, whether it's when he's working in Potiphar's house, whether it's when all his brothers come to get grain from him in the famine and he reveals who he is to himself, or whether it's here as he names his children, whenever he's on the up, whenever he is in success, his testimony is always the same. God made me. Now, what about you and I? What about you and I? Is that our testimony? Is that our testimony to others when we are on the up? Do people look at us and say, God made them? Think of Alan Sugar. Whenever you read an article about Alan Sugar, the guy on The Apprentice, the founder of Amstrad, whenever you read an article about Alan Sugar, it always refers to him as a self-made man or a self-made multimillionaire. His rags-to-riches story, self-made. But what about us? When we're on the up, do our colleagues think of us as self-made success stories? Or do they think of us and are they clear that it is God who made us? If they're not clear that it is God who made us, that it is God who gives us success and gives us the gift to be successful, then we need to think about how we communicate that truth more clearly. So we've looked at imbalance, looked at on the up, then finally, going down. Going down. Going down, actually, it is the most direct context for our verse, Romans 8:28, because Paul, in Romans chapter 8, he's just been talking about struggles and groaning and sin and pain. And for all of us, in our work, there will have been times, won't there, where we will have known something of the struggles and the groans, those down times of the trampoline. And it is then, in those down times, that we're tempted to no longer believe that God works for my good in all things. So when my boss, when he lands a heap of work on my desk and I haven't a clue how I'm going to get it all done, does God really work for my good in all things? When the job is just so monotonous, it's boring my brains out, does God really work for my good in all things? When I'm getting victimized at work and it has been causing me so much stress, I've had to take time off work because I'm sick. Does God really work for my good in all things? When I'm made redundant, does God really work for my good in all things? Really? When we're going down, well, it's then that we start believing that God doesn't work for my good. And because of that, God isn't demoted. He's not deleted. No, we start to despise God. God is despised. We're furious with him that he's put us in this really difficult situation. Well, what's the solution in these down times? When we're struggling at work, what is the solution? It's then that we need a correct view, not so much a correct view of our work, not so much a correct view of ourselves. It's then that we need a correct view of God. And that is exactly what Paul encourages us immediately after this verse, Romans 8:28. So I wonder just in our last couple of minutes, if you just flick forward just to see this. Page 1135, you'll find it, Romans chapter 8. Page 1135. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then what comes next? Look at verse 29, top of the page.
says this, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Now, I think those are amazing verses. They show us the eternal plan of God. It says there, God foreknew me. God predestined me. God called me. God justified me. God glorified me. From way before I was even a twinkle in my parents' eyes, right through to when God calls me home to be with him in glory, he says, I am a part of his eternal plan. And that's exactly the same for each of you too. Part of God's eternal plan. We've been on God's mind for a very long time. God has an eternal plan that involves each one of us. Lisa Beamer lost her husband Todd on Flight 93 on September 11th, 2001. And this is what she wrote shortly after that tragedy. She said this, "God knew the terrible choices the terrorists would make and that Todd would die as a result. He knew my children would be left without a father and me without a husband. Yet in his sovereignty and in his perspective on the big picture, he knew it was better to allow the events to unfold as they did rather than redirect Todd's plans to avoid death. I can't see all the reasons he might have allowed this when I know he could have stopped it. I don't know God's plan. And honestly, right now, I don't like it very much. But I trust that he is true to his promise in Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. My only responsibility is to love God. He'll work out the rest." That's amazing to hear those words. But that is the challenge for each one of us here too. Whatever down situations we're going through in our life or in our work, the challenge for us is exactly the same, to hold on to the truth that God works for our good. That's his eternal plan, to work for our good, even if we cannot fully realize it in the here and now. So this lunchtime, I don't know for you whether at the moment, the trampoline of your work, maybe you can work out which one of these is most you, whether the trampoline of your work is causing you problems of imbalance, problems because you're on the up, or problems because you're going down. But whichever it is, we need to apply the solution. If for you it's imbalance, if it is you're working too hard, too many hours, work is just the sole focus in your life, please get a correct view on your work. If it's problems that are coming about because you're on the up, because you're succeeding, and actually what's happening is God's just going out the window, you're forgetting about it, please get a correct view on yourself. And if it's because you're going down, the struggles, the pain in your work at the moment, please get a correct view on God. As we do that, despite the variations of experience that we're all going to face, even this afternoon on our trampolines, if we're in Christ, if we're loving God, we will be able to testify with Lisa Beamer that God works for our good, for my good and for your good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you that in all things you work for the good of those who love you. We praise you that it is indeed in all things, not just in some things, but all things. And we pray, please, would you help us to hold on to this? Please help us not to diverge from this truth, either because of imbalance or because of going up or going down. Please, Lord, would you help this truth that you work for our good, help it to impact how we live, help it to impact how we work, and help it to do that even this very afternoon. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.